We're so far away from the American dream that it's hard to believe it ever really existed. It used to be a simple formula. If you got a good education and worked hard at your job, you'd have enough left over to support a family and see you through to the end. Today, it's all fallen apart. Forgetting owning a home you'd be proud of or building anything meaningful, you'll be lucky to even retire at all. Over the past few decades, every single part of the American dream has been stripped away. So let's find out how it happened and why you'll probably never get to retire and the solution to this. Kids growing up 50 years ago had a pretty easy time planning out the rest of their lives. It all began with a good education. It didn't necessarily mean going to college either. For most people, a high school diploma was enough to almost guarantee them a good place in society. You've probably heard about what it used to be like. Nearly every job was well paid enough to support a family on just one income. Anyone with enough discipline to put in the work could afford a house large enough to be a family home. Once you were in your 60s, you most likely paid off your house, and your pension would be good enough to comfortably retire. Right now, it seems hard to believe that someone like a mailman would enjoy that kind of luxury of wealth. And it's not just nostalgia talking. In 1974, the average postal worker in the US made between $9,500 to $12,000 a year as a basic salary. That didn't include a cost of living adjustment, double pay on holidays, and tons of other benefits. In total, you could clear $15,000 to $16,000 in a good year. And the average home back then was around $36,000. Just 2.5 years of wages could buy one outright. Or you could spend a couple of decades living comfortably while you paid off the mortgage. But it's a different story today. Even the most well-paid mailman earning $60,000 a year would have to work nearly 3 times as much to afford the same home. These essential jobs, which are necessary for society to keep on functioning, just aren't worth aiming for anymore. What should be a good, respectable career barely allows you to survive. In lots of cities in the US, it would be impossible to even scratch out a living working one of these blue-collar jobs. So people adapted and the bar got higher. Nowadays, a college degree or years of specialist training is the bare minimum to find a place in the dwindling middle class. On average, people with degrees earn over $30,000 more than those who only went to high school. But even then, it's no guarantee of success. It doesn't factor in the massive amounts of debt college will put you in, a debt you could be paying off for decades to come. With so many more graduates, there's more competition than ever for a relatively small amount of well-paying jobs as well. It's why companies have become so ruthless and uncaring with how they find their employees. When every job they post gets tens or hundreds of applicants, they can afford to be choosy. Today, nearly all companies use automated systems to reject most of the applications before anyone else ever reads them. If you don't have the experience or put enough keywords in your CV, it's already over. It's put tons of people in a situation where they need experience to get a job in the field, but can't get a job without the experience to begin with. 50 years ago, a high school diploma was enough to put you on the path to a comfy retirement. Today, you might have a college degree and you might be lucky enough to land what should be an exceptional job. But even with all of this, you're still going to be hard-pressed to retire before your body simply gives up. It's simply a consequence of the fact that companies don't value their employees anymore. They don't need to, because today there's always someone waiting to take your place if you don't like the deal they're offering. A lot of these problems have come from there being way more people in the labor market. Now, there's a bunch of reasons for this, but immigration is one. All kinds of immigrants, both legal and illegal, add more supply to the market. For lots of jobs, they're desperately needed. Western healthcare systems and other vital industries pretty much run on migrant labor. It's gotten to a point where 20% of the UK's NHS staff are first-generation immigrants. For other industries, though, the swelling of the labor pool means wages fall or stay stagnant. But it's not just people moving into the country that's making things this bad in the job market. It's companies moving their operations out of the country. So-called offshoring has almost completely destroyed entire industries. Manufacturing, mining, pretty much anything that isn't a service industry left the West long ago. 60% of companies outsource work abroad. Over 14 million jobs that aren't in the US anymore. Even if it makes the customer experience much worse or leads to an inferior product, if it's cutting costs down, then they're happy to do it. With so many other options, it isn't surprising that companies don't care about keeping their employees around anymore. It used to be the case that companies would reward their employees if they stayed in the job. You could build a whole career rising up the ranks of a single company and getting richly rewarded for never leaving. They needed you back then, it was just how it worked. Some companies still operate like this today, but not many. The benefits of a loyal, skilled workforce don't show up on balance sheets. They might have much more efficient ways of doing things, skills gained from years or decades of experience. But because you can't measure something like that, it's hard for a company to know what it had until it's gone. So managers and executives looking to pinch pennies neglect their duties to their employees. Sometimes they just fire them or outsource their work, but a lot of the time they just don't give them the right motivation to stay. It's been a long process spanning for decades, but we can see the results of it now. It's ridiculously more lucrative. It's become so normal for people to jump ship every few years. First is the problem with how hard it can actually be to climb the ladder at most giant companies. Before, when single jobs used to pay enough to let you and your family live comfortably, it was different. If you didn't want to, you didn't have to climb the ranks to make a good life. But now that the only top positions promise that kind of safety, you're almost always forced to keep climbing or searching for something new. Always in a limbo state of insecurity, never knowing if you'll get another paycheck. Today, it's far harder to convince your current boss to give you a raise compared to convincing a new company to give you a better starting salary. Workers who stay with their current jobs for over 2 years earn a staggering 50% less on average than those who switch employers. It's created an environment that rewards jumping ship, as companies don't care about keeping people on either. They'll have no problem firing people who put 20 or 30 years of work for them, as you're just names and numbers on a spreadsheet anyway. It's an especially big problem for people who are towards the end of their careers, as it's much harder for them to convince other companies to hire them. All of these things have made having a job today like treading water. If you don't keep moving, it seems like you'll drown. Even with job hopping though, wages just aren't what they were. Today you'll be lucky if your raise even matches the inflation rate. For decades, wage growth remained steady, keeping up with everything else, but since then it's been a very different story. Now it's not like people are doing less work, in fact the opposite is usually the case. Productivity has steadily risen for the past 80 years. Improvements in technology, efficiency and a larger workforce have made sure of that. We aren't any less hardworking than previous generations. Productivity has only gone up while wages have remained stagnant. From 1948 to 1973, the two stats were in lockstep, both rising by about 90%. Since then, productivity went up another 70%, but hourly wages for employees only rose by a measly 10%. No matter what people say online, in truth, we're not really any less hardworking than before. So where's all the money gone? It's no coincidence that we've got so many more billionaires than ever before. The top 1% have seen their wages grow by nearly 140%, almost 14 times more than the regular person. People who actually keep society running. Which means there's simply less money to go around and therefore less money to save for retirement or ever put in a pension. But even the pensions are worse today. It was recently discovered that 9 out of 10 pension schemes in the UK have performed worse than the FTSE All Share Index, which tracks the top 600 companies on the London stock market. They've become yet another thing for the finance industry to suck money out of. And when they get their bets wrong, it's the regular people who suffer the consequences. And it just means less money for when you can't work anymore. And that's if that day ever comes, as the state pension isn't much these days, but it's still higher than wages. However, governments across the West have been raising the retirement age, even taking that pittance away from the scores of hardworking people. In France, it got raised recently to 64, but that's actually generous compared to other countries. In the UK, it's 66, and it's gonna go up even more. In the US, it's 67. However, before we continue, I want to tell you about our video sponsor, Odoo. You see, recently I've been using Odoo for my own website to promote the YouTube channel and school community, and it's one of the best website builders I've ever used. But what's really great about Odoo is that it's much more than that. Odoo is an all-in-one management software that offers entrepreneurs a range of applications to facilitate the daily management of their business, such as invoicing, accounting, project management, inventory, website creation, and so much more. The first Odoo application is free for life, with unlimited hosting and support. They also offer a free personalized domain name for 1 year. And once you have two or more standalone applications, you can then switch to a pay plan. One of my personal favorite features though is the Odoo website builder application. It's such a powerful tool for creating a website easily, quickly, and efficiently, all free of charge. Odoo keeps pace with your evolution, allowing you to add additional applications as you grow and your needs change. And there's so much you can do with Odoo. And one of the great things about it is that it's so simple to use. Take the website builder for example. You can create a website so easily with Odoo, as the website creator is intuitive and easy to use. There's no technical skills required. Beginners or advanced users will find their way around. All you gotta do is simply drag and drop blocks. You can then customize each block, add content, and features like animations on blocks, images, changing typography, colors, and image shape. And then when a block is customized, it can be saved by default and easily reused on other pages. It's a really great tool to use, and I highly recommend using it. I use it myself personally. So be sure to check them out today by using the link in the description below, and get your first app free with Odoo. One of the most important ways pensioners today are securing their retirements is through their homes. Homes used to be much cheaper, as we saw earlier. They were simply a way for people to build a life, and the market treated them that way. Since then, though, house prices have only risen, making their investments worth many times what they initially paid, even after accounting for inflation. If they bought early, then all that housing money didn't just go to some landlord or some corporation like it does for young people today. Instead, it was yet another way they were directly investing in their future and their retirement. Back then, the principal was small, so it wasn't long before their entire mortgage was paid off for the house, something that's almost impossible for most young people today. Often these homeowners are the ones supporting laws that make building new homes much harder. Enemies of change in any form, they block the building of new homes in fear of the people who might end up living in them. It's a selfish move pushed forward by a small minority of people, but it means that barely any new homes are getting built. After benefiting greatly from the opportunities they had, they've closed the door behind them. But it's not really people who own just one home that are behind the ludicrous rise in house prices. Instead, it's the way that corporations and businesses have used them as financial investments. Over the past 50 or so years, the housing market transformed. It used to be a way for people to get a roof over their heads and build their own lives. But now it mostly exists as yet another place to store money. Tons of that excess wealth made by the increase in productivity has found its way there. Corporations buy up homes and either rent them out at insane prices or just leave them empty while their value goes up. And it all worked out for the people who bought a home a few decades ago. But now it's a big part of their retirement plans. If they ever need money, they can simply downsize once the kids have moved out and pocket the differences, which is often hundreds of thousands of dollars. But it's those who were never rich enough to own a home to begin with, or people entering the market today, that are suffering the costs of this. With how crazy the ratio between wages and house prices has gotten, lots of people will never be able to afford to buy. They'll be stuck renting, watching thousands and thousands of dollars go into someone else's bank account. Rent prices along with housing prices have massively increased. It's something that's only gotten worse with time. The biggest rise in rents has happened recently, and there's no signs that that's going to stop. Between 2019 and 2023, the average rent went up by over 30% across the US. They've outpaced wages across this same time period in 44 of the 50 largest cities in the US, which is yet another example of something that's only gotten more expensive in comparison to pay. Rent, food, utility bills, all the essentials have generally gotten more expensive compared to wages. While wages are beginning to catch up to some things like food prices, it's too little too late. 6 out of 10 Americans feel like the economy is in recession, but unfortunately it might just be the new normal. It's because people have been pushed out of the system entirely. Most people's finances are in bad shape, whatever the stock market might look like. Even if it does go up by a percentage point or two, they don't feel it. People are being squeezed so hard that they can't get the funds together to save for the future. A staggering 78% of Americans now live paycheck to paycheck, scraping together what they can to survive. For lots of people, it's only getting worse. Over 50 million are now using food banks. 12 million rely on predatory payday loans, just to see themselves through the week. And what's going to happen when all of these people start entering retirement without anything saved for the future? It's these kinds of societal conditions that pave the way to tyranny, as when people go hungry and they don't have enough for their families, it builds anger and resentment. And we're already quickly getting to a place where there's no point for honest working people to still have faith in a system that has trodden them over and over again. And with more and more people coming into the West, more pressure on government services, a massively aging population that won't be sustainably lifted by Generation Z, it will cause massive tension in the West. And without any hope, people will do anything and support anyone who says they can make things better, no matter the cost. Right now, the left pretty much ignores that this is happening, pretending that everything is normal. Meanwhile, the right seems to co-opt this anger and tries to use it for their own purposes. But as we'll see, neither side of the spectrum is ready to deal with the massive societal changes that are about to take place. Automation is coming. It doesn't matter how many people will lose their jobs, it's an unstoppable economic truth. We've already seen it happen time and time again. Nearly everyone who used to work in agriculture, each person could only really make enough food to feed themselves and a few others. With automation, this all changed. Now only around 10% of the US works in agriculture. In countries with far less farmland, like in the UK, it's only 1%. As technology progressed, new jobs stepped in to fill the gap. Most people moved from farms to the factories, but more recently, these jobs have been drying up fast as well. Most of the factories in the West closed long ago, and today they're on the brink of extinction because of automation. It was the reason for 88% of factory jobs that vanished between 2000 and 2010. And now we're facing an even greater shift in the fabric of society. While AI still has its quirks and can be a great resource for many people, it also has a very dark potential in some ways to wipe out jobs of millions across the economy. But it won't just be factory workers this time, although their jobs are still under threat. The main casualty will be the transportation industry. Driving in some way or another is still the most common job in 29 states. So far, it's been impossible for companies to replace them, but that won't last long forever. Soon, AI will be able to replace drivers entirely. Already in places like California, you're starting to see driverless cars. And not just cars, but actual taxis and Ubers. And in tests, automated trucks have been able to detect and avoid obstacles with incredible precision and speed. And the companies pushing this forward expect to have whole fleets of autonomous trucks in just 3 or 4 years' time. Now, of course, this has many benefits. And it has even more benefits for most of the companies. No driver means no wages to pay, and AI systems don't get tired so they don't have to take breaks. Which means your parcels can be there quicker, prices can be cheaper, and once the technology is sound, the trucks will be far safer for other vehicles. However, there are still some kinks to figure out, like how well they perform in wet conditions in busy cities or even uneven terrain. But we'll see them on the main highways very soon, and because of this, they could end up replacing over 90% of the 500,000 long-haul truckers working in the US right now. But it isn't just the transportation industry either. Tons of office jobs related to data entry or admin work will disappear. The legal industry and the healthcare industry will have tons of jobs replaced, because ultimately, AI is better than most people. I mean, it's better than most doctors at spotting signs of cancer in scans, for example. Call centers already make you talk to a chatbot at the first point of contact. Some estimates put the amount of jobs lost to AI in the relatively near future at 300 million, up one-fifth of all jobs by 2050. So what happens to all of the people who do eventually get replaced? Now, most of them aren't going to fit into another role in society. These aren't people who are going to learn how to code and design these systems, which are the only jobs that AI can really create. Ironically, that's a job that will soon be replaced as well. Now, there is the argument that the jobs technology takes will also create new jobs and replace those. When people stopped using horses as their main mode of transport, cars created a whole new industry to replace them. But we don't know if this will always be the case. The jobs related to AI are far more complicated than most people can handle. It takes natural talent and years of study to even get started with them. For the first time, the machines that are replacing jobs are smarter than we are. And whilst this has a bunch of benefits, in terms of making our lifestyle so much easier and better with AI, there's the worrying thought of what if we can't keep up with it? As this will mean even less money in the pockets of regular people, which brings us back around to retirement. With all of these jobs soon to be replaced, the people working them will have lost their ability to survive even while they're still young and healthy. Never mind what they'll do when they're too old or too sick to do any kind of work. We've seen that over the past 50 years, the world has become less designed for people and more for machines and the profit they make. The economy will eventually recover from the chaos of the past 2 decades, but we won't see the benefits. It'll take a complete shift in the way the economy is run for current generations to even dream of retiring. But we'll have to wait and see whether people in society can actually cope with it.